Here's your host.
This is Bernadine Otto, certified transformational nutrition coach, EFT practitioner, and a managing editor of the Live, Love, and Eat magazine. The Live, Love, and Eat podcast is all about health and wellness. We interview health experts who have all overcome their own personal life and health challenges. Learn all about health, fitness, nutrition, spirituality, wellness, and so much more. This podcast will change the way you live, love, and eat.
Welcome to another episode of the Live, Love, and Eat show. Our guest today is Dr. Danielle Litoff. Now, Dr. Danielle Litoff is a doctor of physical therapy and health coach at Battleborn Health in Reno. Now, her practice focuses on the principles of modern proven medicine delivered with an old-fashioned commitment to patient care and one-on-one relationships. So for more wellness tips, we will put all the links down this podcast. You can visit her blog, where she writes about various topics of nutrition, health, and physical therapy. And then she's also a regular contributor for the Live, Love, and Eat magazine. Welcome, Dr. Danielle.
Thank you very much for having me here, Bernadine. I'm excited to be here today.
Okay, so before we start, before we go into, you know, all everything, tell our listeners your story and how did you get started in your career?
So it is actually kind of a long story and it's a little convoluted. So I have been a physical therapist for 25 years. I have my doctorate in physical therapy and I got started as a physical therapist primarily because I was injured as a kid and my dad was an orthopedic surgeon, sent me to physical therapy and I got better, you know, so I ended up having a surgery that statistically works 1% of the time and it worked on me. I was the 1%, but I truly believe I was the 1% because I understood what I needed to do to make sure my body healed the way it was supposed to. And I believe that was physical therapy. So I followed that passion and went into physical therapy. I was doing physical therapy, I would say probably 15 or 16 years. And during that time, I had stressors of moving, stressors of having children, stressors of going back to school, just normal life. And I was getting older. And as that happened, I started to see my body not respond the way it was supposed to. And I went, you know, so I ended up having all sorts of digestive issues, weight gain, no matter how much I worked out, loss of muscle mass, even though I was working out a lot. I had anxiety and depression. And the doctors would say, well, you're getting older. You know, just eat less and exercise more, to the point of where I was exercising probably 3 to 5 hours a day. And I was eating about 1,000 calories a day and I was gaining weight and getting worse. So that's when I started looking into functional medicine. And as a physical therapist, I married the two because I truly believe we can't heal the physical, the physical musculoskeletal injury until we heal the rest of the body. So I can't build a muscle if I don't have my body working well to have muscle cells. I can't exercise if I don't have the right nutrients. And all of the things that work for stress happen, you know, they say, well, eat better, exercise more, you know, all of those things. Well, I can't do that if I don't have my body systems as a whole being. So my practice really turned around when I started looking at, yes, you have a tendon injury, but what's higher up, right? Why is your tendon not healing? Why is your body not repairing? And what other things and what other systems are failing? We need to look at all of those pieces and put them all together. So that's kind of my story. And that's what I needed to do to feel better and thrive.
That is wonderful. Now, I want to talk about functional medicine, you know, and I know you mentioned that you incorporate that with your physical therapy. Can you tell us a little bit, I mean, if somebody comes to you with an injury, do you look at their nutrition, their lifestyle, their stress, or do you just look at the injury itself? Makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I do. I have two separate programs, but all of my physical therapy patients hear about nutrition, because I believe you can't build good muscle on crappy food, right? Mm-hmm. So they all hear it. If they're inflamed and they're using a ton of anti-inflammatories, such as Advil, something like that, we need to decrease inflammation. So we do I do discuss that with everyone. Sometimes they roll their eyes, sometimes they love it. But we do clean up the diet to heal the body, right? You can't, I look at nutrition as the tools to repair. So it doesn't matter what we do if we don't have the tools to repair. So I do have two different programs for different people, but a lot of them overlap, right? So with my physical therapy program, someone comes in with a tendon injury or a back injury. We look at the whole picture and we focus on the physical therapy aspect, but those other techniques always show up because we can't do one without the other, right? And then I work with women like 35 to 60, usually either postpartum or all the way through menopause. And these are these active women who have their whole lives been deemed healthy, and now those strategies of health are no longer working for them. So I do a separate program for them because I can't necessarily talk to them about all of the lifestyle modifications and the education and coach them through that while I'm just rubbing their leg, if that makes sense, right? So if there's a true physical therapy injury, we're working on physical therapy, we're bringing that in. But as far as the functional medicine program, I do that either in person or through telehealth, where we have modules where they're learning about all of the systems of the body that go into incorporating to being, to thrive versus just to function, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes, it does make sense. I know you work with people as well who exercise and they get injured. Do you look at the aspect of how did I get hurt? Did I not warm up enough, or is something else? Is that my
Yeah, it makes sense. So with physical therapy, we always do a comprehensive evaluation, and you always want to know the reason that someone got hurt, because if you know the mechanism of injury, you can then classify the injury and then you can have an appropriate diagnosis to work from. Right. So I joke around that unless you got Nancy Kerrigan, right? Unless someone came and hit you with a lead pipe in the knee, there's a sequence of how you got injured. And for most people, it is there's a stressor that the body's not able to compensate for, right? And a lot of people, especially athletes and when I say athletes, it's anyone who gets off the couch. Someone who is active is moving, and we make these movement compensations. So to give a little bit of an analogy, you know how somebody who has a bad ankle, they might limp, yeah, right? Okay, so they're limping because their body's going to get them from point A to point B best it can. If we let that limp continue forever and we don't retrain it, that becomes something that they don't even realize that they're doing. So more subtly, our body moves in certain ways that may not be efficient for the body. And that compensation pattern that we create then will add stressors to other parts of the body, which then become the injured part. So let me just explain this in a case study that I have right now. I have a young girl who's a soccer player. She got hit on the field really hard about a year and a half ago, landed on her hip. And her hip was sore, right? But it went on for a year. And then she was playing basketball and she fell and she really sprained her ankle badly, like to the point where she couldn't walk, right? That's when she came in to see me. Well, we're looking at the ankle, and the ankle's, yeah, it's sprained. But the real problem is that her hip is out of place, that the muscles in her hip have now atrophied after a year, and she walks really funny. So the balance of that ankle was off. When she landed from that jump, she had no musculature in the right side of her leg and she sprained her ankle. Right? So yes, she has a true ankle injury. I can rub that ankle. I can challenge that ankle until the cows come home. But if I don't fix the hip, it's never going to be right. So that's what we always are looking at. What's the symptom? What's the cause? And what's the cause above that? Is there something globally also contributing so we can clear out all of that and retrain so that the people are back to where they can thrive.
Yeah, that's very interesting. What I also, you wrote an article, I don't know which month it was, you wrote an article about sitting at your desk.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was about 2-3 months ago when COVID-19 struck.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody was working from home, and, you know, and you wrote this very interesting article about how, you know, your posture and how you have to sit. Can you tell us a little bit about it? What do you have to look out for when you sit at a desk, you know, your posture? So
I think the thing is that ergonomics is a pretty complicated science. So ergonomics is getting your environment to work and to be set up in a way that your body can be most efficient. So remember how I just talked about those stressors on the body, right? Well, if I'm sitting in a hard chair and I'm slouched, my head is forward, right? I'm going to stress not just my neck, my back, all that, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm sitting inappropriately for any period of time, or now the new rage is the standing desk. So if I'm standing inappropriately, right? If, you know, I'm 5'2", if I try and use the same desk as my 6-foot husband, it's different, right? That is not set up for me. And over time, you know, for some people that's years and for some people that's minutes, over time, I'm going to be very stressed. My joints are going to be stressed. My muscles are going to be stressed. And just like those compensation factors I was just talking about before with the sprained ankle, I'm going to have the same thing, right? And if I'm there for 8 hours a day, which my body is not meant to do, our technology has evolved much faster than our bodies have. Our bodies were built to move. There is no perfect place to sit or stand for long, long periods of time. So if I am not moving and balancing that out, I'm going to be injured. So the number one thing is move. You cannot sit there for 45 minutes or for longer than 45 minutes a time. You need to get up. You need to change. If you have a sit to stand desk, use your sit to stand desk, right? But even with a sit to stand desk, you need to walk away from your desk. You need to move, right? You need to hydrate. You need to get fluid pumping through the body, right? So the cells that got damaged by being here then get pumped through, and we move them out. Otherwise, you're just working on damaged cells that just continue to build up. So it's very, very important to have the body, you know, you have your workstation set up for you. And I think if you go to the article, it's easier than me trying to list out the posture. There's just, it's just, you know, I could list it all out, but I think it's easier if you just look at the picture and read the article. And I think you're right. I think I did that either in March or April of this year, because so many people, they were now doing their work at home. And not only were they doing their work at home, they were homeschooling. They were, you know, they were stuck in the house. So they were social media. I mean, we went from, even if we were used to doing 8 to 10 hours on a computer, now people were on computers all day long. So it's really important to set up the environment so that your body fits with the environment. And you got to remember that everybody's built different. So you have to support your body, but you have to move. There's just no way around it. People come in and say, well, how do I do this for 8 hours? You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I you know, I use this with my clients as well. You know, I always tell them to just put like a time on their phone, like alarm, and then just like every half an hour, just get up and move around, you know, and then come back in, and then every hour, you know, take a deep breaths and just walk around. Because I feel your body, you know, you really need to, your body needs movement, you know, instead of just sitting, you know, the whole time in front of the TV or the desk, you know, so yeah, that is very important. You know, we have to move our bodies.
We have to move our bodies for our brain and for our bodies. It's not just for the muscles, but there's proven that if you take breaks and clear out your brain, move by movement, that you are more focused when you sit down. People say, oh, I got to keep going. I got to keep going. Well, your productivity gets worse and worse and worse. If you just take these 5-minute breaks, 10-minute breaks, if you actually took a lunch break, believe it or not, and not just sit at your desk and eat, but maybe you take a half an hour to move, right? And then you take a half an hour to eat, you are going to be much more productive at the end of the day. You're not going to be reaching for those coffees, or you're not going to be reaching for those cookies and those sweet snacks that you need to get that fast sugar. use your own body to have that, that, you know, increase in adrenaline, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That is very, very good information as well. Now, I want to go a little bit back now, talking about something else, and that is exercise. Because, you know, I think it's very important because, I mean, I sometimes when I start a new workout program, you know, I think I can do everything. Or you think your body is capable to do that move, and then you do that move and you hurt your knee. Any tips that you can give to somebody out there that or didn't exercise in a long time and they start to exercise or do a workout program, is there any advice you can give to that person? How can they start slowly? You know, what do they have to look out for? Any advice on that?
Well, I think people start too fast and too hard, right? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do this in the sense of you don't know that your body's not moving correctly, right? So going to find someone who can then do an evaluation, pardon me, to do an evaluation of how you move, right? I do one at my office. I do a full body screening. Where are your deficits, right? So we look at, are your hamstrings just as strong as your quad, and like in appropriate relationship to your quads? Are you using your glutes or are you overusing your hip flexors, right? Have you had back injuries in the past? Have you had shoulder injuries in the past? So I do at my office an evaluation where I'm looking at the person's movement and then I structure the exercise for them, right? So, and I don't let them exercise more than 2 days on, 1 day off. Because a lot of people are like, I'm ready to go. And they go and they, you know, either go really hard and they go for a whole week and they injure, one, because they're moving incorrectly, two, because they are doing too much, right? So strength can be defined as the load that you can resist without breaking, right? So more is not better. I am constantly saying that. More is not better. It is better to start off slowly. Mm-hmm. See how you feel and let your body recover. So 1 day on, see how you feel the next day. It is normal to be sore when you use a new muscle. The soreness should be in the muscle belly, not in the joint, right? So after a workout, yeah, my tush hurts. The front of my thighs hurt, but my hip doesn't hurt. My knee doesn't hurt. The center of my spine doesn't hurt. Those are very important. If you're feeling them in your bones or in your joints, that's not okay. Right? You have to feel soreness in the muscle. It should go away within 48 hours. That's when your body's ready to go again. So you start really slow. And that might mean for some people that you work out 1 day, you take 3 days off, and then you work out again. Okay, then we'll start, your body will start getting used to it. So then maybe you can work out 2 days. And take 3 days off. And then you work out again. And you start building very slowly. But you jump into these transformational programs. And a lot of people get really injured. So I think the big thing is to realize that the people who know how what they're doing have spent a lot of time studying this. This is their job. And there's a lot of science to it. It's not just, oh, I should know. I mean, you've done a lot of research and studying in nutrition, right?
Yeah.
It's not as easy as, oh, I just know intuitively what's healthy, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, going into a Pilates class and maybe doing a private lesson, right? Going in and finding, you know, you really want to research your personal trainer. If your personal trainer is super aggro and used to working with people that are not the people you that you like the group that you're not with, right? So let's just say you have a personal trainer who's used to CrossFit athletes, people who've been working out forever, and you haven't worked out in 10 years. That's not the right trainer for you right now. Mm-hmm. Find a trainer who is able to work with you where you're at now, or a physical therapist who's good in orthopedics, who can do that evaluation and say, okay, you have this. We need to work on your hamstring strength. We need to work on your back stability, and we need to work on your endurance. These are the exercises you're going to do for the next 2 weeks. Then we're going to move on. Once you're ready, then you can move on. So don't expect to go 0 to 60. even if it doesn't seem like much, if you're hurting by the end of the week and truly hurting, that's not going to help you to keep pushing. It's going to only hinder you to the point where you're injured and then you can't do any kind of workout.
No, that's true. That's true. I think I did it once as well. You know, the workout programs that's online. And you think you are like fit and you can do this, and you do the first, you know, exercise, and tomorrow you can't walk. Actually, you know, you sore. But that is very good advice as well. And also, I just love the way how you incorporate nutrition and stress and lifestyles, you know, together, because it's not just the injury, you know, it's the whole aspect, you know, of the injury as well. So, you know, stress as well. Let's talk a little bit about stress. Stress is huge on everybody. And if you are under constantly stressed, you know, you can feel it on your body as well. What advice do you give to your patients, you know, who has a lot of injuries, you know, they have injury and they have a lot of stress as well, you know, on their bodies?
So when I look at stress, I kind of look at it like a cauldron, like a witch's cauldron, and it's a brew, right? So stressors come from either environmental stressors, physical stressors, and emotional stressors, right? And we need a certain amount of stress to stimulate the body to grow, but too much makes that cauldron overflow, right? So we're looking at all of that. So if we're going to look at a physical stressor, that could be too much exercise like we just talked about, not enough recovery, right? It could be eating a lot of processed foods, crappy foods, foods that you have sensitivities to, right? It could be not getting enough sleep. Could be definitely during COVID, drinking too much wine. Right? A lot of us are getting like Zoom happy hours, that kind of stuff. Or, you know, things to relax, right? We do things that chemically to relax. That's another stressor. I think I was just telling you, I live in Reno. The smoke, the air quality has been absolutely hazardous for the last 3 months, or I'm sorry, 3 weeks. So you want to look at your stressors globally. It's not just, oh my God, work is so stressful. My kids are so stressful. My money situation is so stressful. That's emotional stress, which is super important. But also, what other stressors? Am I eating well? Am I exercising well? Exercising well does not mean exercising a lot, right? Am I detoxing? Am I recovering? So just for my example, right, I own a business. I have 2 kids who just started. I got a senior in high school and a freshman in high school, and they're on the hybrid model of high school, and they have not had school more than 50% of the time because the smoke is so bad. My normal stress releaser is to go exercise, right? Well, air quality at 250, I can't go exercise, right? So how do I find ways to decrease my stress? Well, at that time, I needed to really look at really up my nutrition, right? My nutrition is usually pretty good, but now it has to be stellar. Right? I know that I need to detox all the stuff I'm inhaling. So I really needed to look at a very strong detoxification type of nutrition plan. And that's the way I can decrease my stress, right? There was no ifs, ands, or buts about my meditation. I had a very strong, good plan to make sure that I could meditate. You know, I looked at other ways that I decreased my stress. Having dinners with my family actually is a decreased stressor for me. I have a certain girlfriend that I love to go have coffee with. I made sure that I could get together with those people that made me feel less stressed because I couldn't do my normal decreased stress. Does that make sense? So you're looking at in this global, like what is coming in and what is going out. On the weeks that work is really, really, really difficult for me, I might do yoga that time of the month, right? Or that time of that week, because that's a relaxing type of movement for me. That's a recovery type of movement versus doing a hard CrossFit or a hard kickboxing or a stressful type of workout. So you're trying to put all these pieces together in a way that your body responds the most. And that's also knowing that, okay, it's very stressful. I need my sleep. Or what if I can't get my sleep that week? Well, what other ways can I make sure that I can recover. So it's looking at stress, not just emotional and not just saying I have to, it's what can I take off my plate? Because right now my plate is full. What other things can I take off my plate to keep my plate from spilling over the edges?
That's very great advice. Very nice tips and really great advice, because stress is, you know, it's like you say, it's not just physical, you know, you have to look at a lot of aspects of stress as well. Now, this question I asked to all my guests, and it is, what free tips will you give somebody who is struggling to live healthy?
So my number one is, what is your why? Why do you want to live healthy? Because you could give me the, well, my doctor told me to, or, you know, my husband likes it when I am able to wear this dress, or I don't feel good because, you know, I used to be this way. But I want you to dig down into that why. It should be bigger than that. I want to feel young and vibrant and healthy. And if I lose 15 pounds and look good in this dress, that might be the outcome of why I want to be young and vibrant and healthy. It's not just, I want to lose 20 pounds, because that, then you're going to lose the 20 pounds and then you're going to not have a reason, right? But why do you want to lose that 20 pounds? Why do you want, I want to be strong enough that I can still kick my kid's butt on the soccer field, right? I want to be strong enough to go skiing with my grandchildren. And then the pieces start to fall together. Well, if I'm going to be strong enough, then I need to work out. Well, if I need to work out, then I need to feel my body well. Right? So those pieces come together when you really tap into that, like, it's the thing that makes your stomach kind of jump or your heart kind of skip a beat. It's not just, oh, I want to lose 20 pounds. It's, I want to be this. And then your heart kind of goes, ugh, right? Then you know you found it. So keep digging until you find that why. Once you find that why, you need to, like, you need to have the goals to get there. Right? And then you want to break that down so that the goals make sense, right? If I want to be strong enough to ski in Tahoe, what does that really mean, right? What do I have to do to get there? I need to work out enough that I can handle being in altitude. I need to be able to move well enough and not get so tired that, you know, I can go down the hill, right? Whatever that is, you build up that program. So you don't just wake up one day and go, I'm going to go skiing. I've never been skiing. You need to break those down. And if you need help with that, you find the person who helps you. You're not born knowing all this stuff, right? You have to find the coach or the guide to break down the goals with you to get there. And the number three is, you need accountability. You need an accountability partner. Right? So whether that is a coach or whether that's a really good friend doing it with you who has the same desire that you have, right? Or maybe it's someone who just says, I'm going to stand on the fire with you. I'm not doing this, but I get why you're doing this. I'm going to stand on the fire with you and I'm going to hold you accountable. Maybe that's a group program where you have buddies who are doing it with you so they can hear how hard it is, but they can also spur you on when you're ready to give up. So I think the three things are, one, know your why. Break it down into realistic goals. Don't try and do it all at once. It's one step at a time. Once you hit one goal, then you break down the other goal. But those little goals have got to add up to your why, right? And then number three is, find your community or find your accountability person. Don't go at this by yourself. It's way too hard. And then you just get frustrated and you get disappointed.
I love those free tips. It's amazing. I just loved you being here today, you know, and you are doing such amazing work out there. And yeah, thank you for being here. Thank you for being you.
Thank you very much. That was really fun. I love what I do. I love doing the stuff and I really love getting that information out there. I love being part of Live, Love, Eat. It's been a really fun community to be part of. So thank you for all you do as well.
Thank you.
This is Bernadine Otto of the Live, Love, and Eat show. If you loved this episode, please be sure to go subscribe to our podcast to see even more topics on health, wellness, and well-being.